welcome along to Soul Sisters with me, Georgie Crawford.
And me, Claire Solan.
This is the podcast that guarantees plenty of aha moments and healthy, nourished skin with thanks to Sanex. We've been loving the Sanex Skin Therapy Shower Gel lately. It comes in three different options depending on what your skin needs. We have anti-itchiness and anti-irritation designed for itchy skin. It contains omega-3 and reduces irritation in just 3 days of use. Anti-dryness designed for dry skin and contains hyaluronic acid, known for its moisturizing power, and smooth skin texture suitable for combination to oily skin, and contains niacinamide, known to help reduce imperfections. So whichever skin therapy shower gel you choose, you're in great hands because it's developed with dermatologists. Its patented amino acid complex preserves your skin's barrier, helps support your skin's natural defense, and delivers a 24-hour hydration feel. Because in the year 2026, we are all about protecting our skin health.
Hello and welcome to the bonus episode of Soul Sisters.
Oh, another bonus. So if you're only catching up on the bonus episodes now, these are the conversations that myself and Claire have when we press stop on our recording. So if you're looking for the deep and meaningfuls, the OG Soul Sister episodes, that's where you'll find us on a Tuesday. But on a Friday, we jump into one singular topic. And this week, we are talking about Liam Payne, Perry Edwards, and Mikey Grain.
Yeah. So as you say, before and after the record, we have a good natter. And the one of the first things I think I said to you last week, but when we were recording the main episode, was I saw the Boys' Own reunion last week in the Emirates Stadium. And in fact, I was at the BBC last weekend and Rylan is on after my show, Emma Willis's show. And Rylan comes in and again, chats before and after the songs. And he was talking about DJing at the Boys' Own reunion. And he had DJed, I think, the night before. And he had realized, you know, you often hear DJs saying, I played what I thought was a really good set, but actually what the audience wanted was a load of steps, songs. That's exactly what Rylan said about Boyzone. He said the people, the women at the Emirates Stadium just wanted bubblegum pop.
Wow.
And I said to him, I've seen a lot of pictures and videos of Mikey Graham. Did you get speaking to him at all? And Rylan said, yeah, I did. I did get speaking to him. And I said, how was he? Is he okay? And Rylan said, look, you know, I think he had a fairly well publicized disappearance. And the fact that the boys got him back to perform words on that stage was a big deal. Because Mikey himself has been open about, you know, how he's experienced depression and he's just absolutely removed himself from the public eye. And it got me thinking about being in a band and having your profile raised, you know, from zero to hero within seconds, you know, in the grand scheme of life, and what fame can do to you.
Yeah, because I was even listening to Liam Payne speaking on, is his name Paul Logan or Paul somebody or other? You know,
the maths guy.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that was one of Liam's probably lowest points in terms of the backlash he got from that interview. But he had said on that when he auditioned for X Factor, he realized that they were going to be famous in the UK and they might be like JLS. And he said, you know, if it gets too much, I'll just move to Australia. And then he got a schedule and it was like, next stop, Australia. And he said something so interesting. He said, my name had beaten me there. Oh. So his name got there before he was able to. And I think, you know, the death of Liam Payne affected us all very deeply. It's definitely one of those moments that we can all remember where we were, and us especially, Claire, because we had just gotten off stage in the Sugar Club and someone came up to us and said, Liam Payne has died. And it was such a shock that night, wasn't it? We felt it so deeply.
I remember being completely unable to absorb it. We were full of adrenaline and you know, such having had such a buzz with the Soul Sisters, it just wouldn't go in. It felt completely at odds with reality, but sadly, it wasn't.
I met Liam Payne once. Myself and Riyadh went to the UK to one of those like soccer aid things. And we were lucky enough to be given, you know, backstage passes to interview all the celebs taking part. So we interviewed James Corden. We interviewed John Bishop. And then the One Direction lads arrived. But it was Niall Horan's charity. And so the agreement was we were able to speak to Niall Horan, but none of the other lads from One Direction were doing interviews. They were just there to support Niall. And right at the very end, we had a beautiful chat with Niall, who's just remained so humble and sound and everything that we all imagined him to be. He still is. And at the very end, myself and Riyadh were out on the pitch and Liam Payne was walking past us. And we said, hey, Liam, do you mind if we get a photo? And I'll always remember this, right? I stood beside Liam. Now, I was years older than him. I stood beside him and Riyadh took a photo of us and he squeezed my back when we were getting the photo taken. You know, when someone goes, when you imagine getting a photo with a famous person, they just come up beside you for 2 seconds and then they leave. Like, he squeezed my back as if to say, oh, like, hey, how's it going? Like, he was fully present in that moment and cared about my experience of getting a photo with him. And that's something that's always stayed with me.
And so as beautiful as that is, if you can imagine as the years and the decades roll by and you are multiplied, you know, hundreds, thousands of people, every single person that passes him by asks him for a piece of him, a piece of memorabilia of him and what that starts to do to his psyche. And so I suppose for Liam Payne, he was just normal boy, working class roots. You know, he found it easy, I think, to be grounded in One Direction. But I think you can see in each boy band and often in bands, even in girl bands, the softer, more grounded members are the ones who suffer most.
Yeah. And I think the thing about Liam, and, you know, this is just my opinion on Liam Payne, is I think Liam Payne would have spent the rest of his life enjoying getting photos of people and being recognized. Like, there's some people who are born for it, right? Who will take the, like, look at Taylor Swift. She loves her fans. She loves her life. She loves going out, signing autographs, getting into selfies. I feel like the likes of Harry Styles, it could get a bit, you know, laborious. But I think with Liam, I think it was almost like he always needed that validation. And I think as his solo career wasn't as successful maybe as other members of the band, I think he really missed that validation and that and those assurances from people for, you know, his that inner child in him.
I guess the only difference between a Taylor Swift experience of fandom and Liam Payne's is Taylor has ensured that she keeps her family around her, so her boundaries are very good. Yeah. I think the problem for these boys and many girl bands out there too is the boundaries were never good. The label saw them as a cash cow and sent them out into the public sphere at any opportunity, selling merch, selling gigs, photo ops. And so the more and more they were allowed to soak up the glory of being in One Direction, yeah, the more addictive it became.
That is such a good observation, Claire. So it's like a business that was never his. So like Taylor Swift owns it, doesn't she? 100%.
Whereas the One Direction thing, it was so manufactured mm-hmm. that probably when it finished, they felt like they were on the outside of it.
Yeah. And sadly, I was listening to another podcast just about Liam before I logged on. And the presenter was talking about the fact that lately Simon Cowell was critical of the fact that he had given the name One Direction to the boys and he should have kept it for himself so that he could make money off it. And I suppose it's just little rhetoric like that that reminds you that these boys, yeah, were not owning their experience in any way.
One thing that I think when a tragedy like what happened to Liam Payne, when something like that happens, I think the first thing the world tries to do and humans try to do is look for someone to blame. Mm. It's like when you get diagnosed with an illness, the first thing you do is ask yourself, what did I do wrong? You know, sometimes our bodies malfunction. You know, sometimes what happens to us is not our fault. And I think as humans, we look to blame, right? And so many people, when Liam Payne passed away, the first person they turned to was Simon Cowell. Now, one thing that I really admire about Simon Cowell is that he says, when he found out that Liam Payne died, the first thing he did was pick up the phone to his parents. That's admirable.
That is very admirable. And I watched Simon's documentary and he does talk about it's that he was filming that documentary when he found out about Liam Payne. And you can see it's guttural, the reaction. Yeah. And you know, Liam, the sad thing about the Liam Payne situation, and I hadn't thought about it for a while, but his reputation, and this is again like the worst, darkest side of the internet, but people had really started to take pot shots at Liam Payne. So do you remember he was either at a gig or he was at a stadium and he was up in like a VIP area and he was maybe coming out and kind of dancing and stuff out on the steps? And I can just remember at the time there being so much critical analysis of the way that Liam Payne was dancing, the way that he was walking out looking for attention. And, you know, this guy was in the biggest boy band in the world only a couple of years previous. And his fall from grace had been like one rung of the ladder down, down, down. And people were just kicking his reputation left, right and center.
Yeah, so that was the Niall Horan gig, which was actually just weeks before Liam died in South America. And Liam, by all accounts, was the one person in the group that showed up for everybody else and supported everybody else. And he travelled to Niall Horan's gig, and Niall was the last member of One Direction to spend time with Liam. And Liam had come out, you know, on the balcony and was dancing and supporting Niall, and people turned against him and said, yeah, he was looking for attention. He's, you know, jealous of the other members of One Direction. And I guess when you are vulnerable and you're reading all of these things about yourself online, there has to be a point where you start to believe all of these things that are being said about you.
Yes, exactly. And what you do is you look for ways to numb or to escape. And, you know, that is likely the way that he came into contact with drugs. And, you know, being in somewhere like South America, like he's running away. You know, he's getting as far away from his home as he can, and then sadly gets mixed up with the wrong people who give him drugs. And then the worst outcome happens.
And we don't need to, you know, get into the details because it's still an ongoing case and it is such a dark, dark night. But on the 16th of October, 2024, Liam was just 31. He died after falling from a third floor balcony. Now, there had been a lot of kind of commotion in the lobby area. Liam seemed to be very heavily under the influence and was kind of shouting out. And obviously now everybody can see that it was a desperate cry for help. And it seems that, you know, he wasn't really supported in that dark, dark space. So the UK coroner is still waiting for evidence from Argentina. Some charges against people involved have been dropped. So an Argentine court dropped criminal negligence charges against three of the five people who had originally been charged in connection with Liam's death. Two men accused of supplying cocaine to Liam before his death remain formally charged and are awaiting trial. So it's absolutely just the worst happened. Hearts broken all over the world. His parents, you know, his siblings, his bandmates, and his funeral was the first time that the rest of the lads had come together since One Direction split.
I was reading reports lately because Niall Horan has an album out that he has recently released, and in the album, in his writing, he has been remembering, you know, his relationship with Liam Payne, which, you know, he said the grief is obviously devastating, but there's so much love and laughter to be celebrated too. Those boys lived, you know, 15 years in five together.
Have you ever been to a One Direction gig?
No, I don't think I have.
Myself and Brendan, Brendan 98FM, went to a One Direction gig. We had one of the top five nights of my life. Who could it be?
Who could it be?
Let's see. Off she goes. I'm just wondering to myself, like, who actually rings doorbells nowadays? Anytime someone delivers something to our house, they just leave it on our step. They don't ring the doorbell.
Delivery.
Here she is. What is this?
It's a delivery.
Of what?
I don't know. I definitely put in an... Embarrassingly, I put an order in yesterday, but I have no idea what's coming today. It wasn't one of those memorable orders. It was like, you know, I'm buying...
tampons or something.
Washing tablets on in bulk and that sort of nonsense.
The opposite of the Blue Zones. Did you ever walk to get your tablets? Jesus, you Londoners.
Oh.
Living in the city, getting stuff delivered.
Such a good point.
Get yourself one of those little trolleys.
I know the ones. Young people carry them around now or pull them behind them.
Do they? Or do the people just look young to you because you're getting older?
It seems to be a bit of a trend. Sliders, socks, and those granny trolleys that you pull behind you.
Whoa. Gen Z people, like, they're just mad at it, aren't they?
Aren't they? They just like convenience. They like comfort and convenience.
Like, I'm just so thankful to them for bringing back in baggy trousers and like Uggs.
I used to wear tight trousers and tuck in my tops to my trousers. Now I wear shirts loose over my loose jeans.
I know. We've so much to thank them for.
I feel like Marky Mark, but it's amazing.
Amazing.
So the interesting point about Mikey and Liam were they were, from the outset of both Boyzone and One Direction, two of the most talented singers. The singers with the best voices. And I think I'm right in saying that early on in both of those bands' lives, those boys were going to be frontmen.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the likes of Harry Styles and Ronan Keating come along and everything changes, because if you've got a voice and good looks, the likelihood is you're going to be fast tracked to the front of the stage and the other boys are going to be drafted back. And so I would think for both Mikey and for Liam, who were clearly sensitive souls, that really hit deep. Also out this week was an interview with Jamie Lang and Perry Edwards.
Yeah. I like your take on this as a podcaster, producer, presenter, editor. Like, there's so many things I've edited out of my podcast that someone may have said something, but they didn't mean it to come out like that, right? Now, I would, if I was the Mirror or the Sun, I wouldn't dream of editing it out. But I think sometimes you have a responsibility to protect people when you are hosting them. And Jessie from Little Mix is going through a really tough time at the moment, isn't she? And with her two beautiful twins who have a disease, SMA, I think it's called. And she's spoken so openly about it, and she's really, really going through a lot. And she opened up to Jamie. And then kind of less than 2 months later, Perry's on, and he goes there about the fallout with Jessie, which just sometimes it's like with the whatever that stupid guy Logan Paul is called, putting Liam on his podcast. They knew what they were doing, releasing those sound bites. Liam came out and said, like, he really regretted parts of that interview, and like, he didn't come across great on it. He was obviously in a really bad place. Like, do we not have a duty of care kind of not to create or inflate scenarios for people who suffer with their mental health?
We do. But Jamie Lang, I think, is not, he's one of the lesser evils when it comes to clickbait content. Now, I listened to this Perry Edwards interview, and we had Perry on Dish. Perry is from Newcastle, and she is absolutely straight up. She's very what you see, what you get, and she says that of herself. And, you know, she talked about all of the girls hearing about Jessie's twins' disease and how heartbroken she was for it, and how she reached out straight away and would never wish anything like that on anybody.
Why wasn't that the clip they promote? Because, like, unless you listen to the whole thing, you don't see that. Now, let's just give context for people who don't know what we're talking about. So Jessie was in Little Mix with the three other girls. Perry Edwards was kind of the front, the Harry Styles, the Ronan Keating of the group. Jessie left, had suffered, you know, with her mental health. She was body shamed, like the worst treatment imaginable. She was also one of the most talented people in the band. But I think Little Mix, they're all like exceptional. Mm. And this week, Perry went on to Jamie Lang's podcast. By the way, love Jamie Lang. But she said kind of Jessie was very difficult to work with. She doesn't know if there's any repairing of their friendship because Jessie won't take accountability. What if, and since then there's just been a shitstorm in obviously both of their lives about this. What if he had of released the clip of Perry saying that she wished Jessie well with her two daughters, and she can't imagine the pain she's going through.
First.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he probably has released it, but he obviously released the other one first. I guess, look, it's the tale as old as time. What is the one clip that's going to bring people in to listen to the entire interview?
Have we not learned, though? Have we not learned from Caroline Flack? Have we not learned from the clickbait that it's so toxic? Mm. You know, people have said stuff on my podcast, Claire, and I'm like, if I put that on Instagram, if I led with that, everyone would listen to the podcast, but I wouldn't do that to someone.
I know. And I guess what Jamie's rationale would be, she's giving an honest opinion or appraisal of the situation, which isn't out there currently and hasn't been given by other members of the band. And so it's sort of serving the story or the questions that we may have as fans. It's actually bringing the story on a bit.
Yeah.
You know, the girls went their separate ways. They fell out. We never knew why. I think it was interesting. And I think this is why it's so important to get help with your mental health. It is important. It's as important, if not more important, to prioritize your mental health over your physical health. Because if Perry is saying that actually Jessie Nelson left Little Mix and was in fact very much supported when she was, when she left. But Jessie's feeling on it was that she wasn't.
Mm.
And she never felt that she wanted to take her own accountability in it. You know, everybody's going to have their perspective. But I can tell you, well, say from my own perspective, working on my own mental health has helped me take more accountability in life.
Yeah.
I see why I have a fight with my sister, old me, F you, sister, I'm not talking to you for months. Me after some therapy. Okay, well, I went in there and I whipped her up into a frenzy, which led her to say the thing now that's really pissed me off. I guess what we're from where Jessie's standing, she was on her own and the other three, it was like one against three.
Yeah. And we all do it, right? We all speak about people in a way that we shouldn't from time to time. But any time that I criticize somebody else, like I know deep down that that is an unease within myself.
Very much so. You're projecting your dis-ease, your wound, your trigger onto them. Because let's face it, it's easier to point a finger at somebody else than look in a mirror.
100%. But it's about the pause, isn't it? Before, it's the first darts and the second darts. Like Brian Penny says, the first dart is something that happens. The second dart is how you react. And he says there's space in between the first dart and the second dart. And I think, you know, we all have a responsibility in broadcasting and, you know, clips that we put onto the internet and things that we create or make. And I just think in the year 2026, we need to stop and mind each other. As Marianne Williamson says, we're either all God's children or we're not.
Yeah, for sure. And it's sad to look at what can happen from us looking at those pop stars and wishing for even a sliver of life, the life that they lived. And sadly, when your life is put under a microscope, like those pop stars' lives are, you're bound to trip up. And I'm sure Perry now has gone back to Team Edwards and her mum Debs and others and probably her press people have said, why did you go there? Why did you say that? Because now what it's going to do is whip it up again. Daily Mail will be on the ball, picking up bits of the interview, bringing a story and a resentment back to life.
Yeah, and it's no judgment on Perry. She is just speaking her truth. And maybe sometimes we do need to speak our truth in order to move through things. Or maybe they've been, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Maybe they've been getting trolled for 4 years and they feel like screaming. That's not the truth. That's not what happened. It's not Jamie Lang's fault. He's not sitting at home editing clips for Instagram either.
You know, I often feel for famous people, actually, when it comes to the general public and them having so many first like meetings with people and, you know, people mistaking members of the band for each other or mistaking them for other people or, you know, saying I don't like your song or I hate One Direction or I never listen to the radio. It's just like people have no filter when it comes to famous people.
Yeah, or like, wasn't famously like Nick Lachey always kind of mistaken for someone like in the Backstreet Boys or something. And he was just like, it's just not me. Like that just happens all the time. It just goes to show, you know, that everyone's just in their own heads, in their own lives. And I think for Liam Payne, he was so overly critical of himself and so self-aware that he couldn't see out. He couldn't see, like Una O'Hagan always says, get off the dance floor onto the balcony, like take a bird's eye view. Mm. And I think, you know, one of the biggest lines coming out of the lads from One Direction after Liam passed away was if only he could have seen how loved he truly was. And we're all loved, right, by somebody.
Yeah. And, you know, there are dark days like that. And it's important to be able to call on the ones we love and ask for help.
Mm.
That's the crucial bit. Because oftentimes we want the ones we love to be proud of us, to respect us, and not to worry about us. But actually, there are some times when you have to knock on the door of the family and friends and say, I'm on the floor.
Yeah. My friend Fiona was actually in the UK watching Boyzone. And as she was flying home, she got a photo of Mikey Graham in the airport.
So stop!
He was rocking around Heathrow, getting pictures with fans, which is brilliant. I hope it was an amazing experience for him. And great to see him facing that, you know, like, what's the guy's name in the UK that had to take a break? He was so huge.
Oh, Lewis Capaldi.
Yeah, like taking a break, coming back.
Yes.
Being welcomed with opened arms, you know?
Yes. But that's, I think that is modern day, again, Gen Z. You know, you look at often, you know, there's some tennis players and athletes who have said, listen, I need some time off. I need some time away. I can't keep doing this. And they've retreated from the spotlight and then come back. And I think it's the way of it these days.
Like, yeah.
You have to be able to say, give me a break clause in my contract. You know, okay. For me to be top of my game and to be on the world stage for as long as I have been, no, please.
Yeah, so that was our deep dive into Liam Payne, Mikey Graham, Perry Edwards. Such a shame about Liam, you know. One Direction probably would have gotten back together one day and it would have been amazing to see him up there.
And I'm sure they still will. You know, you'll probably see the four of them back together, and you know there'll be a massive tribute to Liam in time to come. So I look forward to that.
Yeah, me too. Thank you so much, guys, for tuning in to the bonus episode today. We have other bonus episodes. We have the trial of Karen Reid, who was accused of murdering her boyfriend, and it's a crazy story just outside Boston. I'll leave a link for that in the show notes. And I'll also leave our episode about Alex Murdaugh, which is also a true crime story, which lots of people enjoyed. So thanks for tuning into the bonus. We'll see you on Tuesday for the main episode. And we hope you have a great weekend.
Bye.